I know many of you have heard this question before, but I ask it to begin our thinking this morning. If you were to die today and God asked you why he should let you into his heaven, what would your answer be? The songs that we have just sung this morning would be a great answer. If your answer is anything like, I've done my best to do good things, I've done my best to live a good life, I've done more good things than bad things, I'm at least better than so-and-so, if your answer is anything along those lines, God has already answered and already has a reply to you. In Isaiah 64:6, he says, but we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If we would stand before God and say, well, I've done my best, I've done a lot of good things, his response would be, it's filthy rags. Romans 3 tells us, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the works of the law, by my good deeds, I'll not be justified before a holy God. By my good deeds, God will never look at me as righteous because I fall short of his righteousness, no matter how good I am. I'll never be good enough. That leaves me in a very hopeless, helpless state apart from Jesus Christ. The name we want to look at this morning as we continue in our study on the names of God is Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. That is the only answer that we can have before a holy God. If he asks, why should I let you into my heaven? Our only answer is, I am here in the righteousness of Christ alone. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to, in many cases, be reminded of this truth, perhaps for some to see it for the first time. But whatever the case, I pray, Father, that you would receive the glory and the honor. You are Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. For our own righteousnesses are but filthy rags. We need Yahweh Tsidkenu. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is Jeremiah that uses this name, Yahweh Tsidkenu. It is in chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. In this context, obviously, we're talking about the future millennial kingdom. That time when, as it speaks here, the righteous branch of David, the Messiah, will come and establish his throne upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he will indeed execute, as it says here in verse 5, he'll execute justice and righteousness in all the earth. It's that millennial kingdom that is yet future. He'll rule the world from Jerusalem. And Jeremiah says that at that time, the Messiah, Christ, will be called Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. So in this context, it's the millennial kingdom when the righteous branch of David will execute justice and righteousness. Now that's, in this context, in contrast to the former kings of Israel. The former kings of Israel were unrighteous kings. And in their unrighteousness, they brought evil to the nation of Israel. They brought corruption to the nation of Israel. They brought ruin to the nation of Israel. Notice it in the first four verses of this chapter. He speaks of those former kings and he refers to them as shepherds. "Woe be unto the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, says the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries to which I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says the Lord." And then he speaks of the Messiah coming, that branch of David, to execute justice and righteousness. And he'll be referred to and called Yahweh Zidkenu, in contrast to the unrighteous former kings who brought ruin. This king will bring righteousness. This king will rule in righteousness. And this king will give righteousness to his people. Yahweh Zidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. The Messiah himself is Yahweh. Yahweh Zidkenu. The Messiah himself is Yahweh, who will give his righteousness to the people of Israel. So the unrighteousness of the former kings brought Israel to ruin, but Messiah, who is Yahweh, will give to Israel his own righteousness. Understand that truth. He gives to Israel his own righteousness. Just go a few pages in your Bible up to chapter 33 of Jeremiah. In chapter 33 of Jeremiah, we have these two verses, just like in Jeremiah 23, almost identical. Say almost the same thing, but just a couple of changes. Jeremiah 33, verses 15 and 16. "In those days, and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Very similar to what we read in chapter 23. The branch of David, the Messiah, will come and will execute justice and righteousness. "In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name by which he shall be called, Yahweh Zidkenu, the Lord our righteousness." Very similar, but notice the one big difference. In chapter 23, it's the Messiah himself, Christ, that will be called Yahweh Zidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. But here, it's the city of Jerusalem that will be called Yahweh Zidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. The city takes on the name of the king because the king has given them his righteousness. And so the city takes on the name of their king in recognition of the righteousness that he has given to them. And so Jerusalem is called Yahweh Zidkenu in recognition of the king and in recognition of his righteousness given to them. Now notice this Yahweh Zidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. It's not translated "the Lord is righteous." It's the Lord our righteousness. The emphasis is not simply on the righteousness of God and that he is a righteous God, but the emphasis is on the truth that he is going to give us his righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. He will give Israel his own righteousness. Isaiah has already told Israel that their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They need the righteousness of Yahweh. Their own righteousness will never succeed. Their own righteousness will never stand before a holy, righteous God. Their own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And so the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Yahweh, must become the righteousness of Israel as God, Yahweh, gives him his own righteousness. Again, Isaiah declares that our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. With that statement, again, we come to the conclusion, I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. If my righteousnesses are as filthy rags before a holy God, then what can I do? No matter how good I am, it's not going to be good enough. I'm hopeless and I'm helpless, left to my own righteousness. Notice in that verse, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to it, but in Isaiah 64, 6, it begins with, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. See, he explains to us why our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's because we are all like an unclean thing. Righteousness cannot come from that which is unclean. We are unclean. We are unrighteous. And so righteousness cannot come from that which is unrighteous. Righteousness cannot come from that which is unclean. That's why we need Yahweh Tsidkenu. We need the Lord to be our righteousness. We need Him to give us His righteousness. And so what is said of Israel is certainly true of us as well. Isaiah has already told Israel that their righteousnesses were filthy rags because they themselves were unclean. And righteousness cannot come from that which is unclean. Righteousness cannot come from that which is unrighteous. And certainly he is talking about Israel. They need Yahweh Tsidkenu. They needed the righteousness of God. That was their only hope. And what is said of Israel is true of every single one of us. My righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I am an unclean thing. What is said of Israel is true of each one of us as individuals. And so as we apply this name, Yahweh Tsidkenu, we recognize from Romans chapter 3 that there is none righteous, no, not one. Me as an individual, I am not righteous. You as an individual, you're not righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. Not a single individual is righteous before holy God. And so since we are not righteous, Romans 3 goes on and says, there is none that does good. No, not one. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that does good. No, not one. Just like what Isaiah said. You are an unclean thing, and your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Paul says the same thing in Romans 3. You are not righteous. You cannot do righteousness. You may be thinking, wait a minute. I see a lot of people doing good things. Unsaved people, unbelievers, people that really have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with Christ. I see them doing good things. I see them helping other people. And on a human level, that is certainly true. On a human level, we can do good things for one another, and we can be kind to one another. From a human perspective, it looks like they are good things that we do. But we're not talking human perspective. We're talking the perspective of a holy, righteous God. And that's altogether different. From the perspective of a holy, righteous God, what we see as good, God sees as filthy rags. What we see as good, God sees it coming from that which is unclean. And something good can't come from that which is unclean, from that perspective of a holy, righteous God that cannot tolerate sin. And so from God's perspective, and that's what we're dealing with here, from God's perspective, that unclean thing that I am cannot do righteousness. From God's perspective, nothing good can come from that which is unrighteous. I don't know if we can think of a perfect parallel to this. But let me just throw this out. Maybe it gives us a little perspective. If you have to dig a ditch that, let's say, is 4 feet deep and it's 10 feet long, and you got to dig that by pick and shovel, and then a worm comes along, and that worm, they dig little holes in the ground and get underneath the ground, and he digs his little hole in that place where you want to dig that ditch. And that little worm is pretty proud of what he's just done. But it falls quite short of what you need done, doesn't it? You're not all that impressed with that little hole that that worm made. Not when you got to dig a ditch 4 feet deep and 10 foot long. That doesn't impress you. That really doesn't help you. What that little worm just did is quite worthless compared to what you need to do. Now, that's not a perfect example, but from God's perspective, those things that we do, that we think, and from our perspective seem good, God's looking at it as so far short of His righteousness. So far short of what's really needed. From God's holy and righteous perspective, nothing good can come from one who is unclean and unrighteous. Just like Israel, we need Yahweh Tzidkenu. We need God's righteousness to become our righteousness. Because ours is insufficient. Would you turn with me to Romans 3? Quoted a couple of verses from there. Let's turn to Romans 3 just for a moment. Again, we're familiar with Romans 3:23. Many of us, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We come short of God's standard. We come short of God's righteousness. That would be another way of looking at it. We come short of God's righteousness because we're sinners. All of us has sinned. We come short of God's righteousness. So what hope do we have? I come short of God's righteousness. I'm a sinner. I can't produce righteousness. What hope do I have? Well, verse 20 of Romans 3 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By the deeds of the law, by my good works, no flesh will be justified. By my good works, God cannot declare me righteous. No matter how good I may be, or no matter how many nice things I might do, God cannot declare me righteous. Not from his perspective. If that's the case, then again, what hope do I have? Verse 21 begins with the word but. It's a wonderful contrast. Verse 20 leaves me hopeless and helpless. No matter how good I might be, it's never going to be good enough. But the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I can't do enough good to be declared righteous by God, but I can have the righteousness of God Himself put upon me. And that's what he's talking about in verse 21. In 22, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Through faith in Christ, He becomes Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He gives me His own righteousness so that I can then be declared righteous before Him. He is Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He gives us His own righteousness so that we can be declared righteous by Him. What a wonderful truth. because of Romans 3:23, we need Yahweh Shekinah. We are sinners and fall short of God's glory. But through faith, we can receive His righteousness. And we can be declared righteous by Him. Just go a few pages up to Romans chapter 8. As we continue to apply this name, Yahweh Shekinah, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful truth. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Or you could, and this word is really that word, you'd make it even stronger. There is no damnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful truth. But how? How is that possible? I'm a sinner. I'm an unclean thing. I'm unrighteous. I can't do enough good to be righteous. My righteousnesses are as filthy rags. How can I not be condemned? Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What the law could not do, because of the weakness of the flesh, because of me, because I'm unrighteous, because I'm a sinner, because I'm unclean, I couldn't keep the law, I couldn't do enough good. It was weak. I was weak. What the law couldn't do. You know, in Romans chapter 1, we read, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not the law that's the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel. The law is not the power of God unto salvation because of my weakness. I couldn't keep it. I couldn't do enough good. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel is that God sent His Son. What I couldn't do, God did. What I couldn't do because of my own sinfulness, God did. God sent His Son. And my sin was placed upon Him. That's what verse 3 says. In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He took my sin upon Him and He condemned sin. He had victory over sin. He didn't condemn me. He condemned sin. And He had victory over that sin as He took my sin upon Him. He became guilty for my sin. He had to take the penalty for my sin because He became guilty of my sin. And in taking the penalty for my sin was taken away. But it didn't stop there. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. His righteousness was put to my account. He took my sin and had to die for it. He gave me His righteousness and I get credit for it. The law is fulfilled in me because the righteousness of Christ is given to me. What I couldn't do, fulfill the law, Christ did. He fulfilled it for me. And He gave me credit for His righteousness. What we could not do, Christ did. He fulfilled the law in us. He became Yahweh Shekinah, the Lord, our righteousness. Look at that passage we read earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 is familiar to many of you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we become a new creation. We are given new life. It's eternal life, and it is the life of Christ Himself. And old things are passed away. That old man that was a slave to sin is no longer. I'm a new creation in Christ. This new creation comes about in verse 18 by faith. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. By faith we are new creations in Christ, and our relationship with God is restored. And then in verse 19, he talks about this truth that he no longer imputes our sin to us. He no longer holds us accountable for our sin. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He no longer looks at me and holds me accountable for my sin. But again, it doesn't stop there. He no longer holds me accountable for my sin because Christ already took the penalty for it. But then you go on and he says in verse 21, "For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made or might become the righteousness of God in him." Again, we see this he took my sin and became guilty for it and died for it, and then he put his righteousness upon me and I get credit for it. What a wonderful truth. That is our only hope. Otherwise, we are hopeless and helpless. My sin became Christ's sin and he died for it. His righteousness became my righteousness and I get credit for it. And because of that truth, he says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation, and we are the ambassadors for Christ, imploring others to be reconciled to Christ. When we understand this truth, how can we help but be ambassadors for Christ? How can we help but not tell others how they too can be reconciled to God? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us, or has deposited in us, the word of reconciliation. That word is the idea of to deposit a treasure. He has deposited this treasure in us. This word of reconciliation is a treasure. He's deposited in us, and we are to give out that word and implore others to be reconciled to God. When we understand the truth that he is Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness, we then have the responsibility to tell others how they can be reconciled to him. One last passage, and that's in Philippians chapter 3. Paul rehearses in Philippians chapter 3 those things which he considered his good works, his righteousness, if you will. Prior to his salvation, he saw these things as very valuable and very, very much that which brought him closer to God. These were his righteousnesses. And he was convinced at that time, prior to his salvation, that these righteous things about him and the things that he did would earn him favor with God. But in verse 7, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." He came to a point where he realized his righteousnesses, which he mentions in verses 4 through 6, his righteousnesses were as filthy rags. They were worthless, of no value whatsoever before God. In fact, in verse 8 he says they were rubbish, they were garbage, they were refuse. You have the old King James Version, they were dung, which is actually a very good translation of the word, the Greek word here. Paul said those righteousnesses that I thought were so valuable before God and I had it made before him, I earned favor with him, I came to a point where I realized they were worthless. In fact, they were worse than worthless. They were rubbish. They were garbage. They were dung. Verse 9, "I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." the righteousness which is of God, or literally the righteousness which is out of God. That same idea that He has given us His righteousness. He is Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. That is our only hope. Apart from Yahweh Tsidkenu, we have no hope. We're left in our sin. We are left in our unrighteousness. Unable to be good enough before a holy and righteous God. But through faith in Christ, God gives us His own righteousness and then declares us righteous. And so my question for you this morning, is God Yahweh Tsidkenu for you? Is He your righteousness? Through faith in Christ, has God given His righteousness to you? Or are you still trying to earn God's favor through your own good works? It'll never happen. You'll always fall short. If you can answer that question with a definite yes, He is Yahweh Tsidkenu, He is my righteousness, and that's all I'm trusting in, and is the righteousness of Christ, not my own works. If you can answer that with a definite affirmative yes, then how can you be less than an ambassador, imploring others to be reconciled to Him? When you know this truth, how can you keep it to yourself? When you see others struggling and striving to earn favor with God in their own good works, how can you not tell them that they're going to fall short of God's standard? That the gospel is the power of God, not their good works? Are you imploring others to be reconciled to God? Let's bow in prayer. Father, once again, we come to You in humility, because we see our own weakness. And yet, Father, we come to You with such great joy, with such great praise and thanksgiving, because You are Yahweh Tsidkenu. If there's any here this morning who cannot say that with great confidence, help them, Father, to humble themselves before You, to give up trying in their own righteousness to earn Your favor, and to submit themselves to You through faith in Christ and to receive Your righteousness. And Father, help us to be ambassadors for Christ, imploring others to be reconciled to God. Once again, before I close this morning, just encourage you, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, please make sure before you leave this morning, please see me. As Paul said, I implore you to be reconciled to God. Shall we stand? Thank You, Father, so much for the truths of Your word. They're so precious to us this morning. We love You. Thank You for Your love. May we leave this morning rejoicing in Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.